Can you imagine what it would be like to be the son of a man who was gradually going insane? I had a really good friend. She's since passed away. She was an Episcopal priest. Her name was Nicolette. Nicolette had a special heart for people that dealt with mental illness because growing up, her mother was schizophrenic. And she knew intricately the shame and the fear and the complexity of living with a parent who was severely mentally ill. And Nicolette was an extraordinary human being because of the way that she grew up. And I believe that Jonathan was also extraordinary. Jonathan would have lived about 3,000 years ago. Isn't that amazing? His father, Saul, was tall and handsome, and from what I can tell, early in life, very successful, a provider, a wonderful father. And the people of Israel were begging God for a king, and God didn't want them to have a king. God didn't think kings were the best idea. But the people of Israel kept begging, so God reneged and told the prophet Samuel to anoint Saul as their first king. But just because Saul looked like a king on the outside doesn't mean that he was equipped to be a king on the inside. You see, when human beings are granted enormous power and influence, it takes a very solid ego. It takes a very healthy mental health to be put in a place of authority, because you have to recognize that you are not your position. That even though people act like you're a big deal, you're really just a regular Joe who's playing an important role. But Saul was not well enough to carry the heavy weight of authority. And so from the moment he's anointed king, he starts having, well, scholars, biblical scholars, have consulted with psychiatrists for decades trying to guess what diagnosis they would have given King Saul. And it's ranged everywhere from bipolar to mania. There was certainly depression and anxiety, maybe schizophrenia. But Saul begins to unravel in his mind after he's anointed king. And at first, Jonathan, his oldest son, by the way, Saul had 5 children, 3 sons and 2 daughters. Jonathan was the oldest son. Jonathan was proud of his father and wanted to excel as his father's son. So when they go to battle against the Philistines, Jonathan, against his father's orders, just like an oldest son, goes off by himself with his armor bearer and defeats 20 Philistines all by himself. Which tells me he was a dude too, you know, muscular, strong, good with the sword, your biblical superhero type, probably. Saul is proud of his son, but Saul makes his first big mistake on that day. He's glad to be the king, but he doesn't really know how to be the king. So he declares, "This is great. In order to show our fidelity to God, I declare that every single soldier can have nothing to eat or drink for the rest of the day until the sun sets. And if you break this rule I just made, I will curse you or kill you." They were fighting in Israel in the heat. Was this wise? No. What a silly thing to do. But all the soldiers hear him except Jonathan, because Jonathan's run off to do his own thing. And Jonathan runs into honey. Some bees have made honey. Jonathan scoops it up and eats it, which is smart to do. Don't we know this, Floridians, in the heat? We need sugar, we need liquid, we need whatever we can get. After Jonathan eats the honey, The soldiers tell him what his dad said. So he goes back to Saul, and Saul says in front of all the soldiers, "I guess I have to kill you or curse you." And the soldiers say, "Please don't do that." Saul doesn't do it, but he begins to get very frightened. And he starts having these episodes of rage and fear. Back then, they didn't know what to do with any of that. They would say a spirit came upon him. The devil came upon him. Young David, who had just defeated Goliath, the giant Philistine, they asked young David to play the lyre. It's like a harp for Saul, because sometimes soft music could make his mania calm down. David is playing the lyre, and Saul has a fit and tries to throw a spear at him. Luckily, David is quick and gets away. But while his father is beginning to unravel, Jonathan sees David for the first time. And there's this love story that begins. There it is, right in the heart of the Hebrew Scriptures, a love story between two men. It says that from the moment Jonathan saw David, he loved him as if he were his own soul. He gives David all of his clothing, the robes of a son of the king, the armor of a son of the king. He dresses David in everything he has, even his sword, and sends David out. He and David make a covenant together. Remember, not only was there no same-gender marriage, marriage was totally different back then. What it meant was a man took a woman and started to make babies with her. That was it. And David, remember, ended up by the end of his life having so many wives that no one could count. But Jonathan and David made a covenant. That was all they knew to do together. They pledged their love for each other, and they vowed to take care of each other. David had to run from King Saul. And while Jonathan is watching his father get more and more mentally ill, he's also trying to protect the man that he loves. Jonathan saves David's life multiple times, telling him to hide, telling him not to come back, telling him that his father was going to kill him. And when Saul finally discovers that Jonathan is protecting David, Saul tries to kill his own son. What a story. It's like the best and the worst of a soap opera, isn't it? Poor Jonathan. Do you know what the Hebrew word Jonathan means? It means Yoh, which is Jehovah, Natan, which means to give. It means God's gift. Jonathan was God's gift. To David, to Saul, and to us, to teach us that love takes many forms. In the end, Jonathan will be with his father on top of a mountain, and he and his two brothers will be slain by the Philistines. They die in battle. And when Saul sees three of his sons, all of his progeny, die, he takes his own life. It's a terribly sad story of this king who couldn't be king and who unravels right before our eyes. But at the same time, this beautiful relationship that Jonathan has with David, who would become the ancestor of Jesus, the best king that Israel ever had. When Jonathan dies, David writes a poem about him saying, "Jonathan, your love was better than that of women." David finds Jonathan's son who is crippled. And for the rest of his life, David will care for Jonathan's son and let him eat with him at his table. There are so many storms in life. There are storms of the mind. There are storms of the weather. There are storms amidst humanity. I hope and pray that Saul was able to find peace with God after his death, that all of the storms in his mind would calm, that Jesus would bring him calm. But I also pray for our world, in which there are still so many countries where people who are gay or queer or whatever the words that we use these days are still not only can be imprisoned, but their lives can be threatened just by being who they are. Who are we to tell God what love looks like? How could we possibly spend our time hurting other people because of who they love? So I pray that that storm will also finally find peace in this world. And for any of you who love differently, remember Jonathan, Yonatan, God's gift. You too are Jonathan. You are God's gift to us. And we are sorry that it has taken us so long to learn that love takes many forms. Amen.